You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Nice to have your company, Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall, in situ ahead of a big week of golf, it has to be said. We have the second FedEx Cup Series events, the BMW Championship, and we're in the mountains for the Omega European Masters as well. First of all, it's a warm welcome along, a good morning to Dave Tindall, who joins me. Dave, good morning to you.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
You can
pretend you've had no technical trouble for the last 2 hours.
Well, yeah, I've had one of those mornings, I think they call it. So I've not been able to look at the golf in any great detail. Had a little look last night, and I've only got one bet because of the technical issues we've been encountering this morning. And it must sound like a broken record to those listeners because we come on every single week and say we're having some sort of technical issue. But this week has been a big one. So I'll spin through the prices and do a little bit of presenting here, but it will be up to you, as it always is, Dave, really, to carry this podcast this week.
Can't you just blag it, Dave? That's how the world works, isn't it?
Absolutely. Let's finish through the betting in a moment's time for the European Masters and the BMW Championship. But we've got to talk about last night's golf. The rain-interrupted Northern Trust going the way of Tony Finau. Cracking finish. The back 9-30 from Finau, forcing a playoff with Cameron Smith, and he was mustard, wasn't he? Especially on the 72nd hole, that drive, frozen rope down the middle of the fairway, and then to hole a six-footer for par. He had that glint in his eye, didn't he, yesterday, Tony Finau? That steely determination we've not always associated with Finau, and it was fantastic to see him get the job done.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, Twitter was alive saying, come on, Tony, and don't mess this up, Cameron Smith. Don't deny this. But it still goes to show, doesn't it? However well you play, in the end, he still needed a bit of help. If Cameron Smith holds that putt, he's dead, isn't he? He's gone. That's it.
Yeah.
Or if Rahm just plays as Rahm should do. Rahm was two shots ahead and, you know, with plenty of birdieable holes left, Rahm should win it. So it's about putting yourself there. And if you keep putting yourself there enough times, it will go your way in one of them. And thankfully, it has now for Tony Finau, who ended his five-year drought. And that's actually his first win on American soil, isn't it? Because the other one was in Puerto Rico.
Where do you stand with Tony Finau now, Dave? Because I was reading through numerous Twitter threads regarding Finau, and the common denominator was that the floodgates are bound to open now and he's going to win major championships and many more tournaments. Is he talented enough to do that? Do you think that's what's going to happen in the future, or are we just enjoying this moment of Finau winning a big event on American soil?
No, I think it's a reasonable thing to think. I mean, if in this FedEx Cup series, if you look at the history of it, the amount of times you've got a player winning back-to-back is surely way above average than just two random back-to-back regular season events. You know, we've seen Vijay Singh and Vijaygas did it in the very first year. DeChambeau did it last time.
Billy Horschel?
Pardon?
Billy Horschel did it 1 year, didn't he?
I think they went back-to-back, but they were two of the four anyway.
And yeah.
I think Rory might have done it back-to-back or two of the four. So when you get hot in this little stretch, August, September, it's a good time to keep going. So it may well be that Tony Finau's got a golden chance to kick on straight away, especially when, you know, he's got the win on Monday night. He's not going to sort of go away and party. He's just got to, you know, get to the next tournament and on they go. So there's no time to process it or think about it or anything like that. He's just got to tee it up again. He's got to be in you know, fantastic mood, hasn't he, after finally getting it done. And I think, to be honest, this week's course might suit him.
Could do. We'll come on to the course very shortly at the BMW Championship. But let's start with the Omega European Masters. And the betting is wide open this week as well, with the top of the market, Bernd Wiesberger, who's in the betting at 22-1. Thomas Dietrich is 28, along with Justin Harding. Callum Hill is 33-1. Thomas Peters, 33-1. Richard Bland is 33-1. Guido Migliozzi is 33s, along with Sam Horsfield. Dean Burmester is 35-1 along with Martin Keimer and Andy Sullivan. 40-1, Richie Ramsey, Danny Willett, Johannes Veerman, who won last week, Francesco Molinari, Akali Samoya, and Victor Perez, and Rory Sabatini, and Rasmus Højgaard, and it's 50-1 and bigger the remainder. Crans-Sercier in the mountains in Switzerland for this event, 7,000-yard par 70. Never think of this necessarily as a venue in which you tend to find your game, Dave. You need to be in good form here, I think. Experience of the course, probably a positive as well. And maybe not even logging loads of good results at the track necessarily, but just having played here plenty of times before is a major positive, with it being at such altitude. And I get the feeling there's two ways to tackle this. You look at a solid tee to green player who will hole a few putts, a la Matthew Fitzpatrick, or you just need to be dynamite in the short game department and take advantage of those back-to-back par fives on the back nine and some of those reachable par fours as well, and then just play solidly throughout the rest of the layout, Dave. And obviously, loads of people will be talking about the views at Crans-Sercier, but the golf course is unique, isn't it? And it's always a fun watch, this event.
Yeah, and of course, we missed it last year because of the pandemic, so it got cancelled, one of those that fell by the wayside. So, yeah, really looking forward to this renewal. I think maybe from your little intro there, I think I probably put more stock in course form than you kind of slightly glossed over a little bit.
Yeah.
You go down the winners, you've got Matt Fitzpatrick winning it back-to-back, you've got Bjorn winning it twice, you've got Alex Noren winning it twice. You've got sort of players who, you know, they're not just like top five and then a top 10. You've got players who do actually just get it done twice. So it's because of its unique kind of a test that it provides. I know there are other courses, it's at altitude, and I've seen people equate sort of the Kenyan events to it because they're at altitude, and some of the South African guys live high up, which are a good point as well. But I think if you've got it done on this course before, I think you've definitely got some sort of edge.
Yeah, I suppose Sebastian Soderberg, when he won last year, he sort of defied those trends, didn't he, to a certain extent?
Yeah. 2 years ago.
Last time we had this this event. I've actually got one pick for the event, and this is my only pick on the podcast this week, unfortunately. But yeah, I've got one selection because I did have an in-depth look at this event, but not the BMW Championship, unfortunately. But yeah, one pick for me, Dave.
I've got one as well, and you'll probably just laugh when I reveal it. You think back to the days when we did it with Mike Grenham.
Okay.
It's kind of a running joke. Switzerland. Oh, I never said his name then.
Yeah, I know who it is. Yes. Yeah.
So not your one, though?
No, I've gone with Callie Samoya as my my sole selection. He was in that five-man playoff here a couple of years ago.
I think he would have been maybe second on my list.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And yeah. I thought a lot of people might scoff at 40-1, but I thought it was fair, in my opinion. It's pretty straightforward, the reasoning behind the selection. Best finish on the European Tour came at this event when he was in that playoff, just beaten in that playoff a couple of years ago. And he talked about how he relished Crans-Sercier as a venue, which I think is a real positive. And puttings are often one of those things. You look through the guys that have performed well tee to green and not necessarily putted well here and really have trouble getting a hang of the surfaces at Crans-Sercier. Well, Callie Samoya took to it like a duck to water. He ranked third in strokes game putting on his debut at this event. And I was just looking for signs of life, really, coming into the tournament. And you got that a couple of weeks ago at the Kazoo Classic, where he finished eighth and he led the field in tee to green play. And what really impressed me most was the way he led the field in tee to green play. It was on approach and around the greens, which I think are perfect for this venue. And he often struggles, Callie Samoya, on longer golf courses because he's not the longest hitter in the game, but his accuracy is good. in general. And his approach play was so good at the Kazoo Classic, and his work scrambling as well, that I thought he was definitely worth a play at 40-1 each way. So the Finn for me, Kallis Samoja, is my sole selection this week, Dave.
Yeah, I agree with that. I've also got a 40-1 chance. You've guessed him. I don't know if the listeners have, but it's my old mate, Richie Ramsey.
Go on, regale us with the tales of Richie Ramsey and meeting him in Switzerland.
Yeah, I wasn't just sort of backpacking and bumped into him. It was an official sort of golf press trip for Under Armour. Well, they gave me some free gear, so I can mention them now. He was hitting balls up in the Eiger, yes, the north face of the Eiger. He wasn't hitting them off. He was hitting them within the mountain range. He wasn't just pinging balls to poor tourists below who could get hit on the head. So it was a kind of a thing. I presume he was doing it because he was the defending champion, which brings it back to why I'm picking him this week.
Yeah,
he'd won in 2012 on a course where it made sense that he would do well. He's a straight hitter, likes this sort of test, and he's backed that up with 8th and 10th in two subsequent visits. Hasn't played brilliantly the last few, but he's still thrown in some good numbers. Like 2017, he shot a final round 64. 2019, third round 67. So he's posted some good scores. And obviously, he's someone I always have in mind in this event. But this is probably the best form he's ever been in coming to this for quite a while, I would say.
Yeah.
He's been consistent maybe across maybe March, April, May, and then he stepped it up. He was fourth in the Irish Open, 15th in the Scottish Open, 25th Kazoo Open, 28th Hero Open, and 9th in the Kazoo Classic last time, where he was second for driving accuracy. And his greens in regulation numbers, which I think are a good pointer here. These are small greens here, so if you can hit them, that's a big event. He's 13th, 6th, and 10th for greens in reg in his last three events, Richie Ramsey. And I just thought, for his form, there's so many winners have actually had a top 10, I think, the start before they won the trophy here.
Definitely. I think that's one of the big things about coming to Kransas. Yeah. I mentioned it at the top of the podcast. It's not somewhere you're necessarily going to find your game, I don't think.
No, exactly. So having finished 9th last time, it's kind of, wow, well, there's no reason to not back him this week, Richie Ramsey, unless he was a bit of a short price, but it's everyone seems to be 25-1 and upwards to 40. But he is 40, so I think that's more than enough for him to have another big week. And as I said, you look down the list, you've got dual winners in Norren, Bjorn, Matt Fitzpatrick, so maybe Richie Ramsey can become the latest two-time winner. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, 40-1, two 40-1 shots then with my pick, Kallis Samoja, and your selection. Being Richie Ramsey. Who else stood out to you? There's a couple of names I just want to mention very quickly. At around about those same sort of prices this week, funnily enough, Rasmus Højgaard I thought would go well. He was tied third at the Kazoo Classic on his latest start, and he's just a winner, isn't he, Rasmus Højgaard? And he's making his tournament debut, but Kallis Samoja was doing so a couple of years ago, and obviously Sebastian Soderberg was when he won in 2019 as well. So he can do it here. And Rasmus Højgaard on the back of that tied third. And even more interesting, I think, at 50-1 this week, Jamie Donaldson stood out to me, the Welshman. He was third at Kransersier in 2011, 9th in 2012, and 7th in 2014. He's had a couple of miscuts at the tournament since then, but was 35th when it was last here. And he comes into this having finished tied third at the Kazoo Classic as well, which was a real return to form. And he's got the sort of game that I think trends well around Kransersier. So those two, Rasmus Højgaard and Jamie Donaldson, were the other pair on my radar this week.
Yeah, I'll give you another pair as well. Justin Harding, who's joint second favourite, 28-1. I think he's popular this week, isn't he? He's got that form altitude in Kenya, just got lots of really good form. The negative, which probably stops me backing him, is it's his course debut. I mean, it should fit him, but you never quite know until he's played it. There might be a particular quirk of it all that he doesn't quite get on with. But, you know, in terms of current form, he's certainly got that. The other one I thought would be interesting is Guido Migliozzi.
Definitely.
At 33-1. I mean, this guy was fourth in the US Open not so long back. That followed back-to-back second places in the British Masters and the Maiden Himmerland. Always likes a tree-lined test. There's lots of tree-lined holes this week. Played in the Olympics last time, shot middle rounds of 65-68 there. And he made his first start in this event in the most recent edition, 2019. And 33rd looks sort of okay-ish, but he started with a 65 and finished with a 66. So you've got evidence there that he can certainly play this course. So I wouldn't be surprised if he put in a big week.
A few selections there for you to, well, a couple of selections for you to have a look at, and then plenty of names a little bit further down the list that just made our shortlist but missed the cut. For you to conjure with this week in the event at Crans-sur-Sierre. It's always a special week, the Omega European Masters. Good to have it back on the schedule. And it's one of those that I don't watch as much European Tour golf as PGA Tour golf, Dave, but I'll definitely be tuning into a couple of rounds of that.
Yeah, it's a very nice watch, isn't it, just to get those views. And we've missed it for after the two-year gap. And normally produces a good finish, doesn't it? It's always one to watch on a Sunday. So, yeah, I'll be tuning in.
Let's talk about the BMW Championship then, the second event in the FedEx Cup Series. And John Rahm tops the betting at 13-2. Xander Schauffele is 16-1. Jordan Spieth is 20s, along with Colin Morikawa and Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas. Cameron Smith is 22-1. Louis Oosthuizen 25s. Tony Finau 25s, along with Patrick Cantlay and Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka. And it's 28-1 and bigger the rest. And we've got a new venue to have a look at for the BMW Championship. It's the Caves Valley Golf Club that hosts this week. And it's a Tom Fazio design, opened in the early 90s. It's a par 72 that stretches to just over 7,500 yards. And bent grass greens, looks like there's plenty of room off the tee. And we've got some long par fours on the layout, measuring over 460 yards, but some short ones as well. I think a couple play under 370 yards, so potentially drivable on the week. Should provide plenty of entertainment. And reading through the piece that Josh Culp has written for Roto World Golf, he seemed to suggest that, looking at the quotes, Jordan Spieth has mentioned that it's a course that's played through the air, as many of these US tracks are. And I think looking at the layout, and it seems to me quite similar to Liberty National last week, funnily enough, and the Northern Trust, in terms of same agronomy and bent grass greens and space off the tee. But if you do stray too far offline, you're going to be in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, it sort of supports the idea of looking at last week's leaderboard. But when you say a new course, you always think, oh no, just when we sort of had some course form on some of the other ones. But this one has moved around. I think it's the sixth different venue for this one in 6 years. So it does keep changing. There has been an event here played, though, recently. The 2017 Constellation Senior Players Championship.
And who won?
Played here. Now, that was won by Scott McCarron. Do you remember Scott McCarron particularly well? Is it a little bit before your time?
Yeah, just a little bit before me, Scott McCarron.
Yeah, so if someone said to me, Scott McCarron, give him a kind of attribute of him, I would say big hitting.
Yeah.
So I checked where Scott McCarron finished on the driving distance stats in the year of that victory, and he finished third, which supports that idea. Brant Jobe, who finished joint runner-up, he was fourth for driving distance on the seniors tour in 2017. So big hitters did dominate, it seemed. Even though you've got Bernard Langer up there, relatively, he's quite a big hitter on that tour. He was 24th in driving distance that year. So McCarron, I think he won Belsouth twice, which was a big hitting course just the week before the Masters. Phil Mickelson used to thrive there. So I think that provides a hit. And what you just said, it just seems to me like a fairly typical PGA Tour course where, a big par 72. I saw Simon Holmes on some of the Sky coverage describe it as a big old property.
Yeah.
Probably didn't mean old, as in because it only opened in 91, but it's just a big old property in that sense. So I expect the kind of powerful players to dominate again.
Yeah, and could there be a link with Quail Hollow here as well, given that that was redesigned by Tom Fazio in 97, 2003, and in those years before it hosted the PGA Championship as well, that could potentially be an angle in, I suppose.
Yeah, I think people will look for the Tom Fazio angle as well, yeah, possibly.
Picks, Dave, this week. It's all on you. It rests on you, on your shoulders.
Okay. Well, I've kind of been leading up to it and hinting at it, but I'm going to...
Tony Finau.
The very same Tony Finau has just won, yeah.
Yeah, I just lost you momentarily there, and I got the gist of it, but just not the actual. I just wanted to reaffirm that you were going with Tony Finau to win 2 weeks in a row on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, it's a bit crazy, isn't it? If you think about that, the old buses coming at once, twice theory. I don't know. I'm stuck at. If you look at the prices, so you've got Jon Rahm, a massively clear favourite at 13-2, but it's a short price, and I think I'd want everything in my favour. And he looked a bit sort of agitated last week. Things didn't quite go well. Even though he was clear, you always felt that he wasn't fully on it. Then you've got a host of players who aren't really in the most consistent of form, like Schaffler. There's good rounds here and there. Morikawa had a dip. Dustin Johnson missed the cut last week. Spieth had some odd moments, but some brilliant moments. Thomas sort of, you know, perhaps the Justin Thomas of a couple of years ago would have seen through his effort after he took the joint first round lead with Rahm.
Yeah, I think he was the one that, obviously I've not looked into this tournament in any great depth at the moment, Dave, and I will do later, but Justin Thomas was the one that stood out because of that Fazio link with Quail Hollow, won his PGA Championship there, and that was his first top five last week since the Players' Championship. And you look through his stats, it was his around-the-green play that really hurt him last week. And that's unusual with Thomas. And his ball striking was on song. He's a long hitter. He was the one that caught my eye kind of at 20s. Him and obviously I went with McIlroy last week. And you've got that Quail Hollow link with McIlroy as well. So of those guys at the top of the betting, Thomas and McIlroy were the two at 20s and 25s that most intrigued me, I suppose.
Yeah, did you see the stat? Sorry to burst your McIlroy bubble for the second week running, but did you see the stat by Nosferatu, the guy on Twitter who does all the world rankings? It's the first time Rory's been outside the top 15 in the world since 2009.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I was more keen on McIlroy last week. His ball striking was, it went from feast to famine, really, in terms of his tee to green numbers. Last week were... Well, it was pretty dire, wasn't it, really, for Mac? I know he made the cut, which some other big names didn't, but it wasn't a great ball-striking week for McIlroy last week.
No, definitely. I've just not got an awful lot of trust in him at the minute.
No.
So, Finau, just because he's won and, you know, obviously you don't quite know how he'll react, but you kind of hope he'll just get straight back on the horse and just keep playing good golf again, because he's got no time to think about anything else. He can just do it again. And it's not just like, if Tony Finau's next event was in Kranz, you'd go, well, the course doesn't really suit him, so I can't really back him to win it again. But I think this week's course totally suits him. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the reason. And I've got a couple of others that I'll just have a little bit on as well. Patrick Cantlay, I think, should be really suited by this test.
Yeah.
A par 72, bent grass greens. He's maybe the one that's got the most consistent form. If you look at some of his round scores, he's not shot a round over 70 on American soil since the US Open. So he's playing some very consistent golf, and you just think something good will happen. So he was 23rd at St. Jude, 11th at the Northern Trust. Last seven rounds all in the 60s, won at Memorial in June, and he's a pretty big hitter. He's in the top 25% for driving distance on tour. He's the one where I can't find an obvious weakness in the argument for him.
Yeah.
Some people might say, oh, well, 25-1 to him, that's kind of his price, but some of the others look a bit big. But Cantlay did win Memorial at about 20-1, so I think when conditions suit, I don't think you should be too shy of back in a price that isn't maybe 28s or 33s. So I'm happy enough with 25s on him.
Very good. And your other selection?
Yeah, just as a bit of an outsider, I thought Charlie Hoffman might be worth a go. He's played well in this sort of course where you need to give it a bit of a thump. He was 21st at the Northern Trust, shot two middle rounds of 65, which caught my eye. Fifth in driving distance, actually fifth in driving accuracy as well, so he did strike it nicely. Putted pretty good as well. We've seen him play well in playoff events before. You've got maybe a certain type of guy who hasn't won for a while. I'm not quite sure when Hoffman's last win was. It's quite a while ago. But you've got Abraham Anser suddenly winning. All these guys who kind of writing off as, oh, they'll never win again or win at all. And yet they've come to the fore now. So maybe that will repeat. Hoffman is a big price, I think, for the skill set he brings to this particular course. So 100-1, I thought it's worth it. A bit of an each-way, cheeky double.
The last win, by the way, was the Texas Open 5 years ago for Charlie Hoffman.
Well, there you go, perfect. The five-year span.
Exactly. And he has won one of these before, hasn't he, I think?
He has. He won at TPC Boston, I think.
Yeah,
he?
Yeah, it was. That was 2010, Dave.
Yeah, yes.
It's such a long time ago, isn't it? Okay, so three selections for you this week, and I'll be keeping a close eye, I think, on Rory McIlroy and Justin Thomas this week towards those at the top of the betting. I expect an elite name to win again this week, though. I don't see it going to one of those guys at massive prices, personally. I just it was interesting with Rahm last week, wasn't it? In terms of he did get a little bit flustered. Do you think that's just because his game wasn't... When he took the joint lead after round one and then Thomas started slipping back in round two, I thought Rahm was just going to dominate again. But it just shows how difficult it is winning, because his best at the moment's a lot better than the others, isn't it? Just at this moment in time, but it's still difficult getting over the line.
It is. But is he 13-2 and the rest of the world is 16-1 or higher? I don't know. The gap is...
Yeah, probably not when he was 10-1 last week.
Yeah, that's hard to sort of shift.
Yeah.
I mean, there's about, I think the top 15 players are all 35-1 or less, maybe more than that. Top,
yeah.
Well, 13.56789.
Top 24.
Yeah, are all 35-1. So there's so many sort of thrown in. It kind of shows that it's quite a tricky week, this one, I think, because... There's normally a bit more separation, isn't there, at the top end, but there's sort of doubts hanging over a lot of those players. Some people might see that as a great way to cash in and think, oh, well, you've got Dustin Johnson at 20s or McIlroy at 25s, some names there. Oostveen, did he not play last week because he didn't fancy it? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think so. I think he just he knew he had so many points in hand that it wasn't a necessity for him to play last week.
I've sort of, given what I've said about Finau and Anser, I mean, it'd be a classic case, wouldn't he? Never, would, still yeah. yet to win on American soil, Louis Oosthuizen.
Unbelievable.
So there's if this is the kind of FedEx Cup of trend breaking, maybe he's the name. Mm-hmm. 25-1, he's there, and he's obviously played some brilliant golf over the majors, a bit fresher than most.
Yeah, the one that really stands out like a sore thumb to me as being underpriced is Cameron Smith at 22-1.
Yeah, he's suddenly gone in amongst all the big guns, hasn't he?
Yeah, which seems bizarre to me personally. We'll see how he performs this week, but it might, even with it being maybe a bomber's paradise, it might not even fit him ideally, perhaps. He looks really short to me, and... I just couldn't believe it when I saw McIlroy was 3 points bigger than Cameron Smith in the betting. It was
it's odd, isn't it, how things can change. I mean,
yeah.
imagine, you know, back on the Florida swing when DeChambeau was ripping it up, and someone would say, "Oh, in a few months' time, you'll have Cameron Smith 6 points shorter than him."
You just wouldn't believe it, would you?
Ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, recap your selections then for this week, Dave, in both events.
Yeah, so in Kranz at the Omega European Masters, I'll go a point each way on Richie Ramsey at 40-1. Then in the BMW Championship on the PGA Tour, I'll go a point and a half each way. I'm kind of throwing some of your stake money at this.
That's good.
1.5 each way on both Finau and Patrick Cantlay, and 0.5 each way on Charlie Hoffman.
Very good. 25-1 Cantlay and Finau, and Hoffman's 100-1 here with William Hill. I've just got the one bet, and it's Cali Samoa 1 point each way at 40-1 in the event in Switzerland, the Omega European Masters. We got there in the end, Dave.
We did, yes.
Which is very good news. Hopefully you enjoyed listening to the podcast, folks. If you want to follow us on Twitter, at D Kellner and at Dave Tindall Golf, and we'll be back next week. Looking forward to it. Thank you for tuning into the Golf Podcast. Make sure you check out all the betting at williamhill.com. And if you're having a bet on the golf with William Hill this week, the very best of luck, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.